Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
All right, kids, good morning. I want to encourage you and actually anyone to join me in creating a little project that ties in wonderfully with today's sermon. Whether you're 3 or 93, this is for you. I'm going to give you a few seconds here to go grab 4 simple items you should have laying around your house. Grab a piece of paper. Any paper will do. Grab a pair of scissors, a pen, markers or crayons to decorate the paper. All right, now go grab these items. And when you come back, I'll tell you what you'll do with that. So I hope you have your piece of paper ready, okay, and your scissors. We're going to talk about a shield. So create whatever you want your shield to look like. I've never had a shield before, but I imagine it would either look like this, maybe a little Captain America-ish. I don't know. Whatever you want to create your shield to look like, go ahead and take your scissors out right now and start cutting away at your paper and create a shield, okay? And then as soon as you're done cutting that out, I'll give you a couple seconds here. Get a pen or a marker. I chose a marker. And you're going to write right on the top of that, God is. Okay? Pretty simple. Shield on the top, God is. Leave some space in the center here. Pastor Matt is going to guide us during his sermon, and you're going to listen to his prompting. You're going to listen to his words, and when he gives you something, he's going to say, write it on your shield, and you're going to draw right whatever he guides you to on the center part of your shield, okay? And then when you're done with your shield, decorate it during the sermon, make it look super strong, awesome, cool, pretty, whatever you want, creative, all of it. You're going to post it. I encourage you, please ask your parents to send me a picture. Text me a picture, post it on social media, tag us at VFF Church. And I'm going to go through those pictures and I'm going to pick my top five. I'm going to pick my top five and I'm going to give you guys 5 VFF bucks. All right. And I think Pastor Matt might have a little something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're an adult and you are a crafty adult, then you should totally participate too. So I'm thinking I'm going to pick not my top five. I'm going to pick my favorite shield created by an adult, and you will win yourself a Starbucks gift card. So there you go. That's better than...
It is not better than
what are they, VFF Kids bucks?
We have
That's like Bitcoin or something, right?
I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Top secret, kids. Okay. Don't tell. Right.
Well, I know your love language, church. It's coffee. So kids, enjoy your V-Bucks or whatever, and we're going to get some coffee. So, all right. Super
Thank
excited.
You.
All right. So,
Bye,
yeah.
Kids.
So get busy cutting your paper and getting all ready for your craft project. I'm super excited. You know, I think there are some adults out there that are going to surprise us with their craft abilities. You're a closet crafter. Okay. So I'm excited to have all the crafters come out and see. I think we're going to be surprised. I think one of my surprise ones, I think Jeremy, and I think there is a crafter inside of that tough man, and he's good. The crafter is going to be unleashed today. So, all right, Jeremy, I'm looking at you, buddy. Hopefully it turns out. My name is Matt Kladnick. Welcome to Vintage Faith. Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. No? Okay. No, okay. Anyways, I don't know if you know me, because I think there's people who are probably chiming in and watching from not only Los Angeles, but even friends from all around the world. And I was actually thinking, as they're worshiping, what a cool thing to do church online, because I actually have lots of friends that are pastors, and they have churches that they lead, and I never ever get to see their church in person, because I'm always here. So I probably going to spend the next day or two going on to all my different social medias, and I get to watch my friends over at The Well. I get to watch my friends over at The Branch, at New Life, at The Bridge. So I'm going to get to experience lots of my friends' churches who I never get to experience too. So I think that's going to be really great. You may or may not know this about me, but I have 3 daughters. Yes, I have an 8-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And I'm going to be honest with you. In our house, we watch lots of cartoons, okay? Don't judge me. I'll often tell the kids, do you all watch cartoons on the big TV or on your tablet? Secretly, inside, I'm hoping we watch cartoons on the big TV because I want to watch cartoons too. I don't care. Don't judge me. But there's actually one cartoon that I like kind of more than some of the other ones. I don't know if you are a parent, but some of these cartoons, the characters in them are so sassy. And I can tell when my kids watch a cartoon that has sassy characters because guess what? My kids start behaving sassy. And we don't need any help in that department in the Kladnik household. There's already a little sass just on a genetic level in my children, so we don't need to add anymore. But one of the cartoons I like the most, that I personally like the most, is The Lion Guard, okay? I don't know if you've seen The Lion Guard, but if you haven't, you should. It's on Disney Plus. Yes, I don't work for Disney, but I'm just saying on Disney Plus, you can watch The Lion Guard. And the reason I like The Lion Guard, it's actually kind of it's a series and it's based off the movie, The Lion King. So it's kind of, it's exciting. It's kind of a throwback for me because I was a kid when The Lion King came out. Anyhow, on The Lion Guard, there are all these sorts of animals and there's all sorts of groups of animals. There's the rhinoceroses, did I say that right? The elephants, the giraffes. But there's one group of animals that stands out to me and they're the zebras, okay? And I'm going to tell you, don't worry, no spoiler alert here. There's a lot more to the show that I can communicate in this, but the zebras. And what is entertaining about the zebras is all the groups of animals have specific personalities and different quirks about who they are. Anyways, I like the zebras. And the zebras are really funny because the zebras have this motto, and their motto is panic and run. That's their motto. The zebra's motto, their catchphrase is panic and run. And this is what happens. Anytime anything crazy happens around, anytime there's any sort of disaster, anytime there's any sort of uncertainty, the zebras, they all yell, panic and run, panic and run. And they just run like crazy all over the place. And what generally happens in every episode is when the zebras panic and run, they end up taking something that isn't maybe that big of a deal, and they make an even bigger deal out of how they react. And I have to do the voice. Can I do the voice? Okay, I'll do the voice. I'll do the voice. Okay, thank you. Ayla says I can do the voice, so the rest of you have to endure. And if you are looking for a voiceover actor, hello, I have some time. But anyways, this is what they do, and it's kind of this yuppie little voice. Okay. Okay, they go. They go, panic and run, panic and run. Nailed it. I think I did. Panic and run. Panic and run. Okay. I want to do it again. But anyway, something happens and they yell that thing that I don't have to do again. And they panic and they run. And they just go crazy all over the place, causing a really big disaster. I want to tell you that we have a lot more in common with the zebras from the Lion Guard than I wish we did. When things get uncertain in our lives, when things get chaotic, when things get messy, instead of just really trusting that this is going to work itself out, we go panic and run, and then we go crazy, and we do crazy irrational things that we wouldn't do any other time because we start to focus in on the problem or the challenge at hand and we stop losing sight that actually in our situation that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, that God still has a way, that God still has a plan, that he is still sovereign, and we just go panic and run, and we just get crazy and start running around. And you've seen that. Some of you this week, let's be honest, some of us this week, we have panicked a little bit. And we have done things that have maybe been a little bit irrational. And maybe you haven't, but you've seen it all around, right? You've seen the pictures of the grocery stores. You've seen people, their behavior hasn't been normative to how they really are. And often chaos and challenges and just trials that come, they bring out of us something that has been hidden for a little while. And so I think that this coronavirus has actually just exposed parts of our culture and parts of our community that haven't been yet submitted to Jesus and his rulership. So thanks for the amens, all 6 of you in the church today. Thank you. It's good. I got to tell you that there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way at dealing with the challenges around us than panicking and running and hurting people along the way. Here's the thing. There will be something else after coronavirus that will make us want to panic and run. And after that, there will be something else that will cause panic inside of us. There is an election ahead of us that is causing panic. There are changes in our government. There are changes in our economy. There's changes looming in front of us that could entice panic and fear and worry and anxiety in us. And so unless we do the hard work, church, of asking God to reveal what is inside us that makes this panic and this anxiety seem reasonable, we're just going to continue. We're going to circle right back around to it again. It's kind of like the Israelites on their way to the promised land. They kept circling around the promises God had for them because they couldn't trust him in his ways. So will we be a people that trust him in his ways? Coronavirus, it will blow through our nation. It will blow through our world, and there will be something else. So the hard work for you and me is people who are trying to honor and serve Jesus with every part of our lives, are we going to say, God, would you reveal to me what is deep inside of my heart that makes this panic reasonable? Because until we deal with the root issue, we're just going to always be people that circle around and we panic and run. The only foundation that will give you peace and hope amidst the trials and the challenges of life is to build your life on the truth and the promises that God has for you. King David, after being rescued from his enemies, he penned these words. He said in Psalm 18, verse 2, it says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." These sound like the words of a man who just made it through a very terrible experience. And yet God intervened. We'd be wise to build our lives around the same attributes of God that David knew about God. Several times in the Bible, including the text we just read, God is described as a shield. And I love this imagery because a shield is something that you would take into battle. And not only is a shield something you take into battle, a shield is something you put in between you and your opposition. I don't think many of us have used a shield in combat. I'd be very surprised if you've used a shield in combat. But for David's day, this would be a common thing that you would take into battle. And so when David says that you are my shield, he's saying, you go before me in battle and you protect me. There's something about God and his presence that protects us, that shields us, that he is our fortress and our refuge. And so the challenges that come up in life, we need to posture ourselves not ahead of God, but behind him, trusting him in front of us. And so God has attributes that we need to build our lives on so that we can enter into the challenges that are in front of us, so that God can be everything that he needs to be, preparing the way for us, protecting us. And when God is your protector, when he is your shield, you can move forward with confidence. I just think about someone that's entering into a fight, and you imagine two people going into battle. One person has a shield, one person doesn't have a shield. Who feels a little bit more comfortable in that situation? Probably the person with the shield. They have something to protect them. And if you are doing life without God in front of you, you are doing life alone, and you are doing life scared, and you are doing life in constant states of stress and anxiety and panic and worry. But because God is your shield, there's something concrete that you stand behind. And he gives you this assurance to move forward because he will be your defender. When we think about God being our shield, we're saying that God comes before us in the middle of our trials. We don't need to face the chaos alone. We have God as our shield. It is extremely wise to build our lives around the attributes and the qualities of who God really is. I think more than ever, this is really important for us. So kids and adults, I need you to grab your shield. I think you've had enough time now to cut it out a little bit. I don't know who's going with the Captain America style or the old school shield, but grab your shield. And we're going to do three different points talking about who God is. So our first one is God is my strength. God is my strength. So I want you to write, God is my strength, somewhere on your shield. And if you want to get creative, maybe kids, you can draw someone with really big muscles, okay? Picture someone with really big muscles and draw a picture of some big muscly person there. Psalm 28, verse 7, it says this. It says that God is my strength and my shield. In this world, you don't have to be strong and have it all figured out, but you should know who is strong and who does have it figured out. I was watching a cooking show not too long ago, and there's this scene. You know, it was a Master Chef or one of those ones. What's the guy? I was going to say, is it Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah.
I always get the Ramsays mixed up. One does the financial peace stuff. The other one, very different things. That Ramsay guy, the one that says bollocks all the time. Yeah, that one. Anyways, I was watching one of these cooking shows, and there, I think it was like a junior's edition, so it was kids cooking. And this girl went to open up a canned good. It was a canned vegetables or something. She couldn't open up this canned good. So she ran over to the side, the stands, and her dad was over there. So she ran over. Why would I cry about that? So weird. Blink it out, Kladnik, blink it out. But she realizes this moment of desperation. The clock is running. She is desperate. She can't figure this out on her own. So she runs to the stands because she knows that her daddy is there. And she can trust her dad. She can trust the strength of her father to open up this canned goods. So she runs over. And I think you can see it on whatever, YouTube. And she runs over there. And her dad almost effortlessly opens up the can and gives it back to her. And she runs back and is able to carry on. So you may not feel like you have the strength to handle a situation that's in front of you. You may not feel like you have the strength to solve the coronavirus. But I tell you what, we need to run to someone who's strong enough. We need to run to someone who has enough perspective, enough rapport with us so we can trust him in the middle of the situation. And if you're running to anything else to give you strength and peace and security other than God, you're running to something less than what you really need. Because I tell you what, we live in a world that needs the strength and the might and the power of Jesus. Wisdom isn't relying in your own strength. Wisdom is relying and knowing that God is stronger than you. To know that God is stronger than this. If you're feeling helpless and weak, God wants to remind you that he is all the strength you need. Just turn to him, admit you can't do it, you can't do it on your own, and give God the permission to be mighty in the midst of your weakness. I can't wait to see how these shields turn out. I'm really curious to see how these turn out. So point number one, God is my strength. Number two is this, God is my provider. God is my provider. And kids, if you want to draw a picture that makes you think about how God provides, maybe you want to draw God provides money, or he provides toys or things you like in your house, or maybe you want to thank God for providing you such a great family or a place to live. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. God provides for us, not according to our riches, but according to his riches. We like to think that we take care of ourselves, but it's really God who provides for us. He is the one that gives us breath, and he is the one that gives us talents and gifts and abilities. God is the one that gives us passion. God is the one that gives us vision for our lives. I think that God takes great joy in providing for us. And as a father myself, I take great joy in providing for my family. I find great comfort in knowing that I get to provide for my kids. Not too long ago, a Christmas or two ago, I made the best purchase I've ever made for my children. I bought a small trampoline for the backyard. It's not a very big one. It's like an 8-foot trampoline with a net around it. And I bought this trampoline from Walmart. And it was, of all the Christmas gifts I've ever given any of my kids, this was the best gift. And I want to tell you why this is the best gift I ever got my kids. It is because it is a gift that I enjoy with them. Okay? And a common occurrence in my house, especially in the summer, is when I get home from work, I grab the kids and we go jump in the trampoline together. And as I get heavier and bigger, and as my kids get bigger, it's getting harder and harder for us to all be in the trampoline. But the joy of that gift that I gave my children, it is something that we enjoy together. And I think this is a small picture of the joy that God has in being your provider. He doesn't provide for you so that you can just simply enjoy all the good things he's given you. God provides with you to enjoy his blessings with you.
Yeah.
This is why God provides for us, because when God provides with us, he's creating opportunities for deeper relationship. I have so many great memories of just jumping in the trampoline with my kids, laying there laughing, giggling, just making all sorts of noise. So the gift of provision of the trampoline for my kids, the joy in that gift was that it's something we get to enjoy together. So this season of life, and I know there's a lot of uncertainty. I know people who are out of work. I know people who are not sure where it's all going to come together. Right now is the right time to start trusting God that he is your provider. He will supply, and it doesn't say all of your wants. I think that's a good thing to think. God won't supply all of your wants, but he'll supply all of your needs. God will take care of you. There's so many scriptures, and I could go way deeper into it. There are so many things that God wants to do. He looks at all of his creation, and he loves to give you the things that you need. Will we trust him? Will we allow our relationship with him to deepen in the middle of our needs? Or will we try to make things make sense on our own? Let's be people that trust God with all of our needs. Number three is this, and the point is this: God is my rock. God is my rock. So kids, if you want to draw a picture of like a mountain or something, God is my, or maybe the wrestler or the rock, but either one. Whatever you think of when you hear rock, I want you to draw a picture like that. And back to the verse we read as we started, Psalm 18 verse 2, it says this: the Lord is my rock and my fortress. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. One of the most unnerving feelings is when you feel like what you are standing on isn't secure. I don't know if you like walking across bridges, especially those bridges that sway. I know Grace and I went to college in Canada. There's this rope bridge across this big canyon. And I trusted the bridge, but I didn't like going over the bridge. You know what I mean? It was blowing in the wind and you could see the rocks and the river down below. There's something really unnerving about when your foundation isn't secure. Not too long ago, just actually a couple days ago, it rained really hard here in Los Angeles, which we really love, but we don't get rain very often. So when you mix the infrequent rain with all the oil and the stuff that happens to reside on our pavement, the roads get really slippery. So anyways, it just rained and I decided to go for a run. And as I'm running in on the slick pavement with leaves, I had to be very mindful of how I was placing my feet on the ground. I remember that my running stride wasn't a very confident running stride because I wanted to make sure that where I placed my foot wouldn't slip out from underneath me and end up crashing to the pavement. And I think when we don't have a firm foundation, we are very trepid in how we move forward, right? Maybe you can think of walking on an icy road. You can't walk on an icy pavement like you would a pavement that doesn't have ice on it. And so what you build your life on and the foundation of your life will either give you security or it'll give you fear. So if you're building your life on something, a foundation that is slippery or easily swayed, then you're building your life on a foundation that will cause anxiety in you and not confidence. But if you build your life on this foundation of who God is, he is your rock, your foundation, then there's security that comes. When the storm comes, you can say, this storm, I see it coming, but I have built my foundation on the rock, not on a flimsy foundation. And you can weather any storm when you are standing firmly on the rock. Amen?
Amen.
If you build your foundation on anything else, you will find yourself building on a shifting, ever flimsy foundation. You see, relationships change, so don't build your life on a relationship. Finances change, so don't build your life on your checkbook or your finances. Situations change, so don't build your life on your current situation. I would say feelings and emotions change, so don't build your life on what you feel and what your emotions are telling you. We can build our foundation on an unchanging, unwavering foundation, a relationship with God. On your shield, you see God is, and you see God is my strength, and you see God is my provider, and you see God is my rock. I want you to look at your shield, and I want you to do something with your shield today. Not only do I want you to take a picture and post it on social media, but I want you to put it someplace in your house. You're going to see it often, especially you kiddos. You don't have school for a little while. The next weeks, for all of us, there are going to be times where panic and fear and anxiety and worry are going to rise up inside of us. I want you in those moments to look back at this shield and be reminded who God is. God is not the panic, the fear, and the worry that could be all-consuming in us. God is strong. God is mighty. God is your provider. God is present. God is secure. God is your rock. Because in the next coming weeks, you're going to, at times, not feel that way. But we can't build our lives on our feelings. We have to build our lives on the truth, the reality of who God says he is. I trust these next weeks are going to be many, many opportunities for you to deepen your relationship with God. There's going to be more time at home than maybe you've spent before. There's going to be more activities with your kids. And this is a time where we, as people who love Jesus, we dig in. We invest. You maybe can't invest in your life in the ways you used to, and maybe you need to invest in your life differently. This is a season that God has given us to deepen our relationship with him. So I would say, if you're at home today and you're thinking, how am I going to fill up the next couple of weeks with all the unsettledness around us. These are some of my encouragements. I would say, play more worship music in your house than you ever have before. There's been noise all around us. Let's minimize the chaos around us with praise to God. So I would say that. I would say, parents, pray with your kids. Lead your kids. Spouses, pray together. Let's turn our attention from worry and just ranting on our social medias to sending up prayers and petition to heaven. And let's just invest in one another. I know it's going to be different and weird. You can't gather together as a big group. But I tell you what, the church always flourishes amidst opposition. Yes. So if you feel like the world is caving in around you, this is when the church rises up. This is when the church becomes real. The church isn't a place. The church is a people. And so where you are right now, if you're at your living room, you're in your bedroom, you're at the coffee shop, you are the church right where you are. Just right where you are, turn to the people around you and say, we are the church. Okay, go ahead, say it. Say it to your mom, say it to your dad, say it to your siblings. Say, we are the church. We are the church. What comes against us right now has nothing against what God wants to do. So I believe as the world pushes against us, the kingdom of God pushes against that even stronger. So let's rise up, church. Let's deepen our relationship with him. Let's be braver and full of more courage than we've ever been before. Because remember, he is our shield. He is our refuge. He is our source. He is our might. He goes before us in every single battle. Amen? Yeah. That's fun preaching to six people. I like this. Can I pray for you really quick? Jesus, we thank you that you are more than enough. God, we thank you that we can come to you in the middle of every season of life. And this season of life, it feels and it looks different than any other season before. But God, you are still mighty. You are still on the throne. We can still trust you in the middle of all the uncertainty and amidst all the challenges that are in front of us. God, I pray that you give each family wisdom and discernment. God, I pray that we would press in as a family. God, as a church, that we would press into you and all of your promises. God, I pray that there will be something redemptive about this situation. God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're up to. Help us discern, like, how can we grow? How can we honor you in the middle of this limiting time that we're in? God, how can we as a church literally be the church and move forward into our society? So God, I pray that you'd enlarge our hearts for our neighbors, that you'd expand our capacity to love, that you'd help us to be more generous than we've ever been before in our lives. God, I pray where the enemy would want to come and rob and kill and destroy, I pray, God, that you would bring new seasons of fruitfulness into every single family. And I pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, before you log out, I want to encourage you one last time. Make sure you take a picture of your beautiful shields. And I can't wait to see all of them on social media. And so we will see you. We'll update you with what the plan is for next week. But as you go now, in your pajamas, as you go, whatever you're going to do the rest of this week, let's be the church. Everyone say it nice and loud. Be the church. See you later.